Robert Spear's Broadsides. I'm your host, Robert Spear, Robert Norse. For 2.5 hours, if you can stand it, we have civil rights coming at you. We hope you'll pick up your radio and truck on down to the Loudon Nelson Park, where even as we speak, a protest is beginning to mobilize the community against the war in Yugoslavia, the bombing of Yugoslavian people, which has done so much to help the refugee population here. Guests today on Robert Spear's Broadsides includes Lou Rice, who will continue his discussion of homeless rights and homeless concerns. We had a touch of reality last Thursday when we had Mike Rotkin in the studio. Also we have, he shows up, James May, another homeless man who's been involved in the administrative end of some of the homeless shuffling that goes on and demanding for homeless services. And we also be having a special call-in interview with Tim Fitzmaurice, who actually recorded this before the show began. He's a council member who hasn't yet appeared on Bad Lips Gears Broadsides. Lots of critical things to say about him, but today he's talking about the war, and we agree with him. Fire is definitely burning in certain parts of the world, and we hope we can start a fire here of a different kind, a fire of righteousness. Thank you, Willie. To deal with the brute force and violence that's happening all over the globe, but particularly under a NATO leadership against Yugoslavia, allegedly in the name of human rights. That's the war on the people of Yugoslavia. You may hear from the newspapers it's against the Serbian nationalist Milosevic, but it's not. It's against the people of Yugoslavia. It's against bridges and hospitals and the infrastructure, as the military calls it, the infrastructure that will supposedly cause the Yugoslavian people to rebel and toss out Milosevic, a strategy that worked so well in World War II with Hitler and Churchill. That's what Hitler thought, I suppose, when he terror-bombed London, that if he kept bombing them, that eventually that warmonger Churchill would be thrown out. And Churchill thought the same thing about Hitler, of course, that just by bombing him to death, that would cause a surrender. And, of course, it didn't. It took the invasion and occupation of the country, which apparently is what the U.S. is preparing to do in Yugoslavia, with massive numbers of NATO troops lining up on the borders of Macedonia and Albania, reservist medics being called up. Even though the Italians and the Germans are dissociating themselves from this effort, it looks like NATO is continuing in this blind pursuit of a kind of a power solution, regardless of the cost to the Yugoslavian people, regardless of the fact that their bombing has produced twice as many, three times as many refugees as were present before in Yugoslavia, double, triple, increased the Serbian or the government's ethnic cleansing policies in terms of its the civil war against the KLA, depending on how you want to view it, vicious atrocities by both sides, but I have to say particularly by the Milosevic government on the ground, at least that I've heard of. Of course, you know, I'm hearing the government side of it, our government side of it. But it's quite clear that this is going nowhere. And a lot of us got together to talk to Miss Representative Sam Farr, who has voted for all these bombing measures and voted to stop the Congress from controlling the ground war and voted for $11 billion for cluster bombs and uranium-depleted weapons and so forth. And he spoke about this issue up at Stevenson Dining Hall to a fairly full room on Friday. People were a little too well-behaved for my tastes. I think that what he really hears is anger. What he really sees is significant, strong, high-level protest. And when they see through his political bullshit, that is to say, his kinds of excuses he uses, like, oh, well, we have to pass the military appropriation because it contains a few good things as well. That's the Republicans. They control the Congress. I'm only one representative out of 435 representatives. Gosh, I was a hippie when I was young, I was an anti-war protester. I'm voting to stop the bombing. Well, he hasn't really voted to stop the bombing at all. He is introducing a resolution, and he has asked Clinton in a declaration with like 25 other House Democrats to cease fire for 72 hours, which, as I've repeatedly said in public forums, I believe to be a pretext and a prologue for the ground war. You give Milosevic 72 hours to comply with terms he's refused to comply with in the past, the occupation of Yugoslavia by NATO troops, which Yugoslavia would have to pay for. That's what the Rambouillet Accords provides for. Accords, by the way, which Representative Farr had not yet read by Friday. I asked him personally. He said no. And I asked him if he thought that any power would accept occupation by foreign troops because of an internal civil war. And he apparently, that didn't disturb him, that didn't faze him. He didn't regard that as an unusual or impossible demand on a country. So, I got to tell you, in simple words, Farr is full of poo-poo. He is not really changed his mind on this issue. He's hearing the roars of some of his liberal and radical constituents who are really getting enraged about this and hopefully will continue to show their rage in the strongest possible terms. Go to Loudoun Nelson Park today if you want to join that protest. Start at 11, and I think it's still going on up there, Laurel Park, Loudoun Nelson Park, near Loudoun Nelson Center. That's on Laurel and Center Streets, I guess, thereabouts. Show your thoughts on that. I have the resolution that Farr is introducing into Congress. It's not very impressive. The resolution reads, the House of Representatives finds the following. Yugoslav troops under the authority of Slobodan Milosevic have engaged in a policy of ethnic cleansing throughout Kosovo. Ethnic Albanian Kosovars have been forced from their homes and separated from their families, displaced, and forced to leave the country. Prior to NATO airstrikes, more than 2,000 ethnic Albanians were killed in Kosovo. This figure, by the way, is at variance with the generally understood figure that 2,000 were killed on both sides in the civil war between the Yugoslav military and the KLA in Albania, and also I should say the Albanian people, because of the Yugoslav military is also not too gentle or clear in who it targets, in my view, based upon reports I've read from Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch about behaviors before the bombing. Refugee reports estimate at least 5,000 ethnic Albanian citizens have been killed by Serb forces in Kosovo between the beginning of the NATO airstrikes and May 18, 1999. Doesn't mention how many have been killed by NATO airstrikes, but let's let that be. The fate of as many as 225,000 ethnic Albanian men in Kosovo remains uncertain, although apparently, if we read in the papers today, headlines in the San Francisco Chronicle talks about the so-called missing Albanian men are suddenly appearing, beaten up, abused, released from prisons, supposedly as part of an anti-KLA campaign, but not dead, or at least the overwhelming majority of them not dead. NATO has engaged in an escalating bombing of Yugoslavia since March 24, 1999. Aha, at last, a relevant consideration. Point 7, the Yugoslav government states that over 1,000 civilians have been killed by the NATO bombing campaign. Point 8, NATO bombing has been successful in degrading the Yugoslav military capabilities. This is the declare victory and get out approach, which I suppose is clever, but it's contradicted by all kinds of sources, so it's vulnerable to being exposed as bogus. 9, NATO bombing has severely damaged the Yugoslav infrastructure. We're reading Sam Farr's bill to turn the conflict over to the UN and have a ceasefire in the bombing. 10, NATO bombing has demoralized Yugoslav troops, large numbers of which are deserting. I don't know about large numbers. There certainly are reports of at least 3 cities of protests against the bombing, and there are reports of some desertions from Kosovo. There are also reports of people getting in more solidarity with the government because of the bombing. 11, NATO bombing has weakened the authority of Slobodan Milosevic as a national leader. That is questionable in my view. Again, he's trying to do the we declare victory and get out approach. 12, Slobodan Milosevic is coming under pressure from within Yugoslavia to take action that would lead to a cessation of the NATO bombing. Right, but it's also coming under pressure from outside the country with such ingenious schemes as indicting him as a war criminal at this crucial moment, bombing cities where the Russian diplomats are trying to have talks, intensifying the bombing as diplomatic efforts are proceeding that really make one wonder if NATO isn't really trying to ensure that there is a ground war, that there is no success in the diplomatic efforts, which would seem to me, of course, to be crazy, but when have the military ever been sane? I'm sorry, I guess I have a strong prejudice against the military, and would invite you callers who have had some positive experiences with the military and their planning schemes, Vietnam, World War One. I guess World War II is supposed to be the good war, but we could go back to that and show me what wonderful work they did, and you know we can talk about that. But again, reading more from Farr's resolution H.R. 196 to move the conflict from NATO to the UN, which it certainly sounds better than the current situation, but one has to ask, is Farr really behind this, or is this some sort of PR move thing? And we'll continue to read and discuss it. The United Nations is recognized as the primary international forum to discuss solutions to international problems or disputes. Point 14, the United States has been a member of the United Nations for 54 years. Point 15, under the UN Charter, the UN Security Council has primary responsibility for maintaining international peace and security. And 16, NATO, the treaty that established NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty, which established NATO, explicitly acknowledges the UN has primary responsibility for maintaining international peace and security. And these are the, I think they're the findings. They're the findings. Section 2 is the Declaration of Policy. The House of Representatives declares that the United States should work with the United Nations as the primary conduit for a peaceful solution to the crisis in Yugoslavia. 2, NATO should cease airstrikes in Yugoslavia in order to give the United Nations the necessary window of opportunity to bring peace to the people of Kosovo. Note, it's kind of, they should. It doesn't say, we're cutting off funding, guys, for any further airstrikes with NATO. You're not going to do any more airstrikes. This doesn't stop airstrikes. This recommends against airstrikes, is how I'm reading it. Sense 3, sense of the House of Representatives relating to the United Nations involvement in resolving the crisis in Yugoslavia. It is the sense of the House of Representatives that the President should engage the United Nations as an intermediary in meaningful negotiations between NATO and Slobodan Milosevic to 1, bring an end to the NATO bombing in Yugoslavia, 2, end the intimidation and expulsion of the Kosovo civilian population, 3, cease all activities of the Yugoslav military and paramilitary forces in Kosovo and to withdraw those forces. 4, facilitate the return of refugees and displaced persons to their homes. And 5, deploy an international peacekeeping force to ensure a secure environment for the refugees and humanitarian aid. Those are the that's it, I guess. So no stopping the bombing is mandated. It's just a sense of what they recommend. to the president. It's a, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if you did this? In the meantime, go right ahead. I mean, this representative, Representative Farr, has already voted to stop the House from a resolution which said, you can't do a ground war without coming back to us. So the president doesn't have to come back to the House before he launches those many troops he supposedly has on the border. Though I read an article yesterday about these being phantom troops, that there's really far less troops there in reality than they're claiming are there. It's kind of, again, a big PR show for NATO, which is the way I read a lot of this war, that this war is to buff up the credibility of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization now that it doesn't have Russia as an enemy, or at least didn't before this war. Maybe it's creating Russia as an enemy again. More work for NATO, I guess. Now it can proceed. Unless we proceed to do something about it. Santa Cruz City Council did proceed to do something about it, passing a resolution which was not reported in the Santa Cruz Sentinel that I saw. Maybe I missed it, but I've been kind of keeping an eye on the papers and talked to Daryl Cole, who was the reporter there. He promised to put something in about it, even about the resolution that the City Council did not discuss, in spite of Christopher Cron's commitment to do that, about protesters seeking amnesty because of First Amendment rights and police abuse here around the issue, very important locally, and also important more broadly, nationally, that there be a First Amendment guaranteed by the City Council, that it not be quelled and quieted by the police department, particularly in a time of crisis like we have now, where it is only the First Amendment and only public protests on the streets that are really going to turn the ears of these politicians which have supple spines and, you know, rubber knees. They're always bouncing down to do whatever President Clinton wants. I mean, I don't think a Republican could have carried off this war. I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons we had such massive protests when Bush went into Iraq, at least initially, because the Democrats were in opposition, and for them it was a political deal. You know, it's all some sort of great political game for who can seize the goodies in power. And Bush's war was attackable because it was him who was doing it, not because of the morality of it. We see that clearly, that the Democrats are supporting the sanctions and the bombing of Iraq, which is still happening, as you probably know if you read the papers. The same kind of policy is going on. Iraq isn't invading anybody, but it's been getting bombed. Children are dying there. They aren't killing anybody, but the embargo continues. So usually I kind of try to stay close at home with homeless issues because a lot of other lefties with better credentials than myself cover this field, but I'm afraid I'm covering a bit of it today. As I also attempt to deal with this new machinery. Studio has some great new equipment, thanks to Skidmark Bob and the other Inner Circle that's been running around trying to update our sad little studio. We are going to need a lot of help. We're looking for a new place to go to, and we need one fast. So if anybody has any ideas out there, please give a call to the voicemail at 427-4523. Lest I be accused of letting people panic, it's time to start panicking, folks. The studio is going to have to move very, very shortly. We need a place to go where this radio station will be off the air, and we'll get to listen to CNN. Good luck. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3, that you're tuned to. I'm your host, Bathrop's Pierre Robert Norse. Stay with us.
Our corn, ground, mull, and mulch are free. Born in the middle of the afternoon, in a horse-drawn wagon on the old A5. The big 12-wheeler shook me back. You can't stop here, the policeman said. You better get born in someplace else. So move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Move, shift. Born in the Tati, left and came in an old bow tent near a Tati Pea. The fair Marseille The work's all done, it's time that you was moving on. You better get born in someplace else, so move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Move, shift. Born on a common near a building site where the ground is rutted with the trailer's wheels. The local people said to me, you'll lower the price of property, so you'd better get born in someplace else. So move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Born at the back of a blackthorn hedge when the white hoar frost lay all around. No eastern kings came bearing gifts, instead the order came to shift. You'd better get born in someplace else, so move along, get along, move along, get along, go. The winter sky was hung with stars, and one shone brighter than the rest. The wise men came so stern and strict, and brought the order to evict. You'd better get born in someplace else, so move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Tent or trail upon last year, last month, or in far off days. Born here or a thousand miles away, there's always men nearby who say, you better get born in someplace else. So move along, get along, move along, get along.
Ewan McCall from one of his great albums. He's one of my favorites. He and Peggy Seeger do this sharp, acrid, strong satire, lampooning of figures who need to be lampooned. And he's dead now, but his music continues and his voice lingers on, sings on strongly. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm Robert Norris, and you're tuned to 96.3 FM. Our calling number, if you want to reach us to give us your thoughts on the war, on the local situation for our homeless, the war on the poor here, is 427-3772. A couple of announcements. There is, of course, a Peace and Justice rally at Laurel Street Park behind Loudon Nelson Center, has already begun. The kind of a series of concerns to free Mumia Abu-Jamal, to end the sleeping ban. I guess Earth First is also involved. And the Santa Cruz Coalition to Stop the Bombing in Yugoslavia is also there. That's a speak out. There's reportedly going to be music, food, dancing, organizing, and marching for justice and peace. And lots of Steve Argue will be there. Steve was freed on bail, $20,000 bail. Where he has been held for 5 or 6 days in jail, in lockdown, 23 hours a day. He'll be there to talk. So that's worth looking into. We're going to be having in the studio with us soon activist Lou Rice, who you may have recognized from the steps of the post office, where he sat for several weeks at least in a hunger fast that lasted 27 days as he sought to bring the public to awareness of various concerns out at the Homeless Services Center. The need for better food, the need for food to be prepared in under sanitary conditions, the need for more shelter, the need for more respectful treatment to people, the need for such basic elementary things as drinking water to be available for homeless people out there. So it can be more than kind of an encampment or concentration camp, a day concentration camp where you can't even stay during the night. Set up by a board dominated by merchants and authorities like police officers, to keep people out of the hair of the downtown area. That's not what he would say. That's what I would say. What he would say is, and he's much more gentle and diplomatic about this than I am. He would say he simply had a number of concerns that he wanted to bring to the people who run the place and to people in the community, which he did. And he's going to talk about these more, I'm sure, on the air. He was with us on Thursday when Michael Rodkin came in for a brief kind of taste of the debate we're going to have in a week from next Thursday. That'll be a full-scale, head-on Rodkin-Norse debate, unless we can convince Keith Sugar to come on into the studio. That hasn't happened yet. But today we're going to have Tim Fitzmaurice, not here in person. He had other things he had to do, I think babysitting responsibilities with his grandson, I believe. But he's agreed to go on tape, and we will put him on tape shortly to talk about the war. The city council, as you may know, passed a resolution, again not reported in the Sentinel. Mostly very good, whereas bombing a sovereign country is clearly an act of war, and the United States Congress has not declared war against Serbia, whereas bombing civilian populations and deliberately bombing institutions such as civilian television stations, power plants, roadways, etc., has predictably resulted in the death of innocent civilians, and whereas the United States, in conjunction with NATO, has made extensive use of anti-personnel weapons, enriched uranium shell casings, and other devices whose main purpose is to maim, terrorize, injure, and kill human beings, all of which are clearly acts of aggression outlawed by international law, and whereas the current bombing has destabilized the peace efforts of opponents of the current regime in Serbia, I think we changed it to former Yugoslavia, I would have preferred Yugoslavia, but destabilized United States relations with China, Russia, and other nations, undermined United Nations authority and purpose, and threatened to involve the United States in an extensive ground war threatening the lives of American soldiers. And whereas the killing of innocent civilians should only happen if ever under conditions where the deaths will effectively serve to reduce other lethal violence of a greater magnitude, clearly not the case today in the former Yugoslavia. And whereas the United States should use its military power against sovereign nations and their citizens when it is clear that our national interest is at stake, where we have an effective strategy to accomplish clear and moral goals, where we have the support of the community of nations and the United States Congress, and whereas local government officials have a duty to represent our citizens and communicate their concerns to our national leaders when local voices are not being heard, and whereas local government officials have an important role to play in speaking out against the waste of precious and limited natural resources on an immoral and ineffective bombing strategy when we have so many critical unmet domestic needs, and whereas we take this position without taking any particular position on the history, economy, or politics of Yugoslavia, Serbia, or Kosovo, but on the basis of a complete lack of confidence in the effectiveness of the current United States strategy to achieve any recognizable purpose, but nonetheless resulting in death and destruction in both Serbia and Kosovo, not to mention Montenegro. That's why I suggest the whole thing be Yugoslavia, and I think they made it, as I said, former Yugoslavia. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Santa Cruz that it hereby calls for the cessation of the U.S.-backed NATO bombing in the former Yugoslavia, and be it further resolved that the mayor is authorized to communicate the city's position to stop the slaughter of innocent civilians and seek other more effective and less destructive means to resolve the crisis in Kosovo to our national representatives and leaders. I proposed that we add another section, which was not added, by the way, but this was good. What was done. I think there were a few minor changes made that I do not have here because I have Councilmember Rodkin's original proposal. The section that I suggested be added was, whereas we view with dismay Congressman Sam Farr's recent votes in the Congress supporting continued aerial bombardment of Yugoslavia, massive increases in military armament for that purpose, unchecked by conventional budget restraints, a blank check to the President to proceed with a ruinous ground war without further congressional authority, and a flagrant disregard for the War Powers Act, which requires the people's representatives be consulted before U.S. troops are dispatched abroad and maintained there beyond 60 days. City Council didn't want to get that specific and get that, perhaps they regarded it as personal. Frankly, I think a lot of them are Democratic Party hacks that want to continue to stay on schmoozing terms with Representative Farr and don't want to embarrass him, when embarrassment is just what we need to turn this sucker around, I really think. As I said before, Farr's claim for concern about, well, his call for a 72-hour ceasefire not only is not enough, I fear that it provides the pretext for the ground war. And that, if you haven't seen ruins so far, well, keep watching. Other events coming up around this issue and other issues. Monday, tomorrow, May 31st, 3:30 at the Cafe Pergolesi downtown, the Santa Cruz Coalition to Stop the Bombing in Yugoslavia is holding a meeting Those who want to join this town gown organization, please come. We know it's a holiday, but the bombs are still falling, and we need to act. At 5:15, 2 hours later, tomorrow, there'll be a Women's International League for Peace and Freedom petition, if the past is any indication. They usually show up there with pickets. You can do the same. On Tuesday, June 1st, there'll be a town hall forum at the Civic Auditorium with Representative, or Misrepresentative as I call him, Sam Farr. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. All organizations are invited to set up tables. Questions from organizations must be submitted in advance by noon on Tuesday. And again, the way to submit them is give a call to 423-HUFF, and I'll have that information on the HUFF line. 423-HUFF is the number you call off the air to get information on Yugoslavia. HUFF has usually got information on homeless civil rights issues, but we consider this important enough to add that. It's actually a line that some other people use as well. So you call in if you want information on this, if you have yourself concerns or want to volunteer, or you want to speak on June 1st to present, do a presentation. I'm afraid that a lot of this forum, this Yugoslav forum that Farr has set up at the Civic Auditorium with the assistance of the City Council, was originally, we urged it be set up, those of us who sat in Representative Farr's office and were arrested twice and are facing, I'm facing, I guess it's 2 years in jail. It's either 2 years or 1 year in jail on those two counts of trespass. And it's certainly going to be some jail time because I'm not going to take any probation, so I'm going to be in lockup for a while if I'm convicted of this, unless the jury nullifies or the charges are dropped. And there are 25 of us in that situation. We've asked that these charges be dropped. We asked the City Council consider it. As I said before, Councilmember Crone, who apparently doesn't know, he says one thing and then does another, and I think part of it is because he's so overloaded. Part of it, I don't know what, because he has an attention span problem, doesn't consider us as important as others who he's talking to. I don't know what the story is, but he needs to be told by the constituency out there that when he tells a group of people that he's going to make a presentation to City Council or allow a debate or expand oral communications or set up a video showing, he has to do it. And if he doesn't do it, he should apologize publicly for it and explain himself on that issue. And I'm sorry, that's just the reality of it. It's not a personal thing with Chris. I've been observing Councilmember Crone's behavior over the last 6 months, and he does about one-third of what he says he's going to do. What he has to learn to say is, I may do this. And then we can, be clear about it. Saying, I will do this puts a lot of us in a position where we are caught with our pants down, we feel we can't trust him anymore, and it's a bad situation all around. So, again, on the 31st, 3:30 at the Pergolesi, that's the Santa Cruz Coalition Stop the Bombing. Check that out tomorrow. And 5:15, come to the town clock with a picket sign and maybe a recording of the bombing. They took away our last recording of the bombing. Shana Gluck's recording off the internet of Yugoslavia bombs falling in Belgrade was seized by the police at the same time as they locked up Kualing and provoked essentially a whole violent scene where we weren't violent. I don't regard, by the way, the use of force to stop a police officer from tearing a child and a mother apart as necessarily violence. The police don't call that violence when they use it. I don't know if it should be called violence when the people use it, and I don't know what or what hasn't been proved, but I know that it was unwise behavior by the police that prompted that whole situation. And no doubt the protesters, our behavior can always be improved as well. I don't like to see children in the middle of demonstrations, but when they're there, the police have to have good sense when the protesters don't. Of course, that's not usually the case, so you get these kinds of situations. Anyway, on Tuesday, June 1st, again, that Civic Auditorium Forum I told you about, 6:30 at the Civic, that's right across from City Hall and kitty corner from the library. Fill up that building and fill up that building with protest. And please don't let moderators like Jane Weed and other people who want to keep everybody real cool and real quiet and give Senator Farr, Representative Farr his essentially, to me, speak your mind is what I'm saying to you. Don't allow the constraints of the forum to silence you. even if it means you're speaking out of turn. I know I will be criticized for saying this, but I think it is really important that people's voices be heard and not that control freaks who run this show be allowed to stage manage it so that people are quieted down. I've seen this done so many times. I've seen people's voices silenced because they think they have to follow a prefabricated agenda. But I encourage you not to let this happen on Tuesday night. On Wednesday night, on Tuesday night, another thing is happening. On June 1st at 7 p.m., for those of you who can't make it to the forum or perhaps have a portable television set on your wrist, or maybe you want to go back and forth between the forum and the TV set, Channel 71 and Club Cruise has Becky Johnson hosting a show with documentary footage on the April 17th demonstration in San Francisco, the two sit-ins in Sam Farr's office, the parade through Beach Flats, and finally, the demonstration police beatings at the McPherson Center. I don't know if she has any of the beatings on tape. She does have some of the brutality that the police used in attacking people with kids. This will be broadcast on rebroadcast on Thursday on Channel 71. That's the Community Action Station at 7 p.m. That's June 1st, 7 p.m., Channel 71. Demonstrations Against the War, rebroadcast Thursday on June 3rd. On June 2nd, the Vets Hall is doing a forum by Yugoslavia Crisis Forum Committee with speakers Paul Sullivan on depleted uranium weapons, Dennis Bernstein of KPFA, Shana Gluck, Lazarevich, Bill Money, Gloria LaRiva, and Frank Bardicky at 7 p.m., 840 Front Street, Veterans for Foreign Wars Memorial Building. It's sponsored by the Yugoslavia Crisis Forum Committee and the Bill Motto Post. Then we have some stuff further down the road, which I guess we'll talk about more at other meetings, like the Citizens Police Review Board is actually having some of its representatives are actually going to be meeting with the people. Can you believe it? Not just going through their usual hack stuff. Let me hack into this phone line here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, Robert. This is Tracy.
Hey, Tracy. You must be calling from the protest.
I am. We're calling from the protest, but I'm thinking people in Santa Cruz are still asleep because there's very few people here. So I'm calling to urge people to come to Loudoun Nelson Lowell Park. We're out here playing basketball, having a great time, waiting for people to show up, but there's about 25 of us here.
A small but mighty group, or perhaps a mighty small group.
That's right, and it's it's a beautiful day out here, and we're going to do a march, and, you know, so folks should come on out and help stop the bombing and free Mumia and free Steve, and you'll have a chance to speak out and talk about...
Let's talk a little bit about some things that have been happening. Tracy, I know you were up in San Francisco yesterday, right?
Right.
And there was a line on the bridge which kind of brought to mind what some Yugoslavians did using the human shield approach, which has been kind of misrepresented by the media. There's been claims that Albanian refugees are used as human shields in military convoys, but in fact, and I don't know the truth or falsehood of those things, I haven't seen persuasive evidence either way. I've heard a little refugee testimony, but it seemed to me there would be aerial photographs and there would be many reports if that were being regularly done.
Right.
But there certainly have been reports of Yugoslavian citizens volunteering to kind of staff the main bridges in Belgrade. I don't know what happened to them. I think all the bridges have been hit.
I think I read in the latest edition of Workers' World that 35 of their bridges have been bombed. So what we were doing yesterday was to show solidarity for what you were saying, that what people were doing to save their bridges. And there were there had to have been about 2,000 people out there yesterday. So it was a really strong statement and a lot of momentum towards the anti-war movement. So I think, next Saturday up in San Francisco, I think it's going to probably double in numbers. So.
And where will people converge for that, and how can they get more information?
You can get more information by calling the Santa Cruz Coalition to Stop the Bombing.
You have a number for that?
I don't have a number for that, but you're welcome to call.
423-HUFF is the number to call to get the number, I guess.
Okay, or you could call 425-4467, but just right now, for people who are listening, it's at the UN Plaza where we're going to meet at, I believe it's 12 o'clock, and then march to Dolores Park up in San Francisco. But
that's next Saturday.
Yeah, next Saturday, but check on the time because I'm not absolutely sure about the time.
Well, now, Tracy, I know when I went up to a march, I guess it was a month ago in San Francisco, there were about 800 people. I think we counted them, 800, 900 people.
Right.
And, you know, I guess it didn't increase much for the next few weeks, but now it's jumped to 2,000.
I think so, yeah. And I see the ability for next week's march to be even stronger because they've been building for this march for a long time, and they're doing it in, you know, the Pentagon. There's going to be a march on the Pentagon on the same day, and I'm sure there will be other cities who are doing similar things on the same day. So I personally think the sentiment is growing for what we're doing over there, that it's absolutely just wrong, and it's a crime what we're doing. And so I think, you know, I think if people go up there, they'll see that they're not alone in their feelings about the war.
Well, certainly things are heating up in town in the sense that, well, there are numerous meetings being held. I'm a little bit concerned that these are establishment meetings of the graybeards talking. You know, like there's of course going to be a meeting of the Coalition to Stop the Bombing of Yugoslavia, which is not the graybeards, it's the Young Turks.
Right.
Tomorrow at 3:30 at the Pergolesi.
Right.
And then the Women's International League is doing its 5:15 protest, and then at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, it's the "Oh, tell us, Sam, what the story
right.
is" at the Civic Auditorium.
And then Wednesday, the Vet Hall event.
And then you're going to have, hopefully, a lot of speakers at the Vets Hall. Well, hopefully, presumably.
Right.
On Wednesday. So things are heating up. But what's your sense? You were at the FARS little get-together with the students on campus
right.
on Friday. What was that all about?
I think what's really important is he kept trying to pat himself on the back. I'm the only congressman who's done this, when in fact that event is always pre-scheduled and predetermined. He does that every year, and so it's not anything special that he did. It just happens that it was scheduled for the time that we're in war, and so realistically he was coming there anyway, but because at the beginning he talked about a bunch of things that were totally irrelevant to the war. But personally, I think that he was he felt a little bit put on the spot, and he was not able to answer anything directly. He was very evasive. He claimed to not know anything about depleted uranium, which in my opinion is a bunch of bullshit, because I think if he, you know, he can't admit to knowing about depleted uranium, because then he could be convicted of a war crime, or the you know, the people who are signing the okay for the use of that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that that's a war crime.
I think using using weapons against the civilian population is a war crime, like cluster bombs.
Right.
But I think that he had our 10 questions. We, that is to say, those of us who sat in his office and were twice arrested. Well, some of us were twice arrested.
Right.
We asked him specifically to answer within 5 working days 10 questions. One of them was about the use of depleted uranium weapons. What's
right.
going on here? Is the U.S. doing it? How does it justify it if it is? Do you deny their lethality? Do you deny the destruction of the environment and not just the enemy soldiers and civilians, but the U.S. And it's become a big deal around Iraq and various Gulf War syndrome type diseases.
Exactly, right. So that's where I question, how could he really not know about depleted uranium and what, how destructive it is? And so that's why I question, that's just one thing that he did on Friday that was ridiculous. I mean, it seemed that he kept claiming that there was nothing he could do about particular things, that he wasn't the president, he wasn't the secretary of defense.
I'm only one member of the House, he said.
Right, one out of 436 or whatever he said. And and then the fact that he was upset about the chalk on the sidewalks and leaving a place better when you leave than when you got there. I mean, how ridiculous is that to say?
It was kind of funny that Representative Farr, of course, was referring to the protest the Saturday before
right.
at the McPherson Center, where
right.
he was there at a fundraiser. He claimed, just it wasn't my fundraiser, I was just there to help other people raise funds.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, constant slipping and sliding
right.
around.
Mean, but you're a part of a Democratic Party, Sam, it's like, wake up. I think he's probably a little bit worried about Tuesday night, because he was asked some very direct and very difficult questions by very intelligent and well-informed students, and he wasn't able to really answer any of them straight on. So, I mean, he's a politician, and that's, well, they're and learn how to do that, I
Tracy,
suppose.
What are we going to do on Tuesday night, those of us who are concerned with making sure those questions get answered or become real clear that FAR is refusing to answer them? We'd originally asked to set up a forum wherein there would be follow-up questions, whereas the activists who were willing to put themselves on the line to get FAR to come to town, and that's the reason he's here, not because Jane Weed has agreed to moderate,
right,
or council member Fitzmaurice voted for it or something like that. Not that, you know, maybe those things aren't necessarily contributions to this. I don't know about Weed's moderating, but,
right,
you know, I think that the reason that he's here is because we have, many of us have just raised the stakes, raised the ante, and raised our voices on this issue.
Exactly.
And my question is, what are we going to do when we walk into this setup on Tuesday night where all the questions are kind of, you're supposed to have your questions in by noon.
Right.
It's all prefabricated. You get a little 3-minute speech. You know, there's, presumably the place will be ringed with police, though I want to, at this point, give a tip of the hat to the UCSC police. I thought they behaved quite well.
Yeah.
they were Mr. Low Profile. I mean, they
right.
weren't around, but we you know, people stood up and got angry with FAR.
Right.
The police officer did not rush over to arrest you.
Right.
You know, and I think that's really the way it should be. We had access to FAR. We were talking to him, Adam, and we actually got into something of a dialogue at certain points.
Right.
Much to the chagrin of the somewhat controlling moderator, I might add, but nonetheless, I think that, you know, that there was much more done there than I'm wondering, what are we going to do to make sure something really gets done on the first, or can we, at this large civic center on the forum?
Yeah, I mean, I have lots of ideas about what we can do, but whether or not we can, I think it's going to be the will of the people and how far they're willing to push it. Because like you said, I mean, you have to have your questions in. I don't even know if that means they can decide which questions he wants to answer. I'm not really sure how that's going to work. But I think, I think we should just, I know that George, who audiotaped the whole thing yesterday, is going to try to give him a tape and try to let him hear the concerns of people. But in terms of having a dialogue, I think we're going to have to push for it, because I don't think that's something he wants to do.
And I guess the place will be pushing for that, or organizing that, I hope, instead of running around with nonviolence training, is tomorrow, Monday, at the Cafe Pergolesi.
Right.
And who knows, maybe if I'm encouraging people to come on down to Laurel Park, Loudon Nelson Center,
right
now, and join you in a festival and a series of speakouts on really important issues, not just the war, but the protest to free Mumia Abu-Jamal, to end the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz, and also issues of, I guess, injustice against activists up in Humboldt, Mendocino counties, and the destruction of the redwoods.
Exactly, everything. Everybody's welcome, and you know, if people are a little tentative to come out because of what happened to the protesters on Saturday, I don't foresee anything like that happening. We're very strategic in how we plan things, and I don't foresee anything like that happening today. So
yeah, I mean, we had a somewhat rowdy crowd, though not rowdy enough for my taste, on Friday, but at the Stevenson Dining Hall thing with Sam Farr, and the police were quite well behaved. Of course, they were the UCSC police,
right?
But still, I thought they were pretty. You know, that I think maybe the word may have gotten out to the police that, you know, throwing people to the ground for selling newspapers, dragging people off when they're trying to protect women and children is not quite the thing
exactly.
to do.
And,
you know,
and they have some accountability in this too, and I think they know that they fucked up basically on May 22nd out in front of McPherson, and I would hope that wouldn't be their first defense, you know, if something were to happen today. I mean, there's no cops anywhere in sight right now, but we're also a very small crowd. But again, I don't foresee anything like that happening, because we are going to just have a speak out
Well, I would encourage you, if the crowd, you know, doesn't grow large as as you'd like, but you still are there, that you speak about possible strategies for Tuesday and Wednesday in terms of, this is what I've always thought, people need to have smaller affinity groups to really
right,
get together.
I agree.
And have their own actions. In other words, I think that if FAR refuses to answer questions clearly, if the structure makes it clear that he can get away with avoiding answering the questions, which I think is the likely situation,
exactly,
the people be prepared to present a protest, orderly if necessary, chaotic if necessary. I mean, orderly if possible, chaotic if necessary.
Right.
Where people get these questions out and FAR, you know, is confronted
with
them.
We need to, because what I noticed what that was happening on Friday is everybody that went up to the mic had very, very good questions, but a lot of times they had more than one question, so they would ask a really good question, but then they would ask their second half or a second question.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
a lot of the questions never got directly answered because the person asking the question didn't stop and give him an opportunity to answer.
You know, that is the problem that I have a lot with my guests. I will ask compound questions, and it just, you know, the force of them gets lost. You know, I guess one of the reasons we do that is we're afraid we're going to forget the second question.
Exactly.
The answer is to prepare yourself well, to give your second question to another person right behind you, and have them, you know, to talk, to kind of get together and confer and actually divvy up the terrain if you can. And if you can't, you know, then make your questions brief, succinct, and keep pounding them home.
Exactly.
I mean, I think people at the mic should ask the question and stay at the mic until they get an answer.
I do, too, because...
Follow up.
Exactly, because two really good examples of what happened yesterday were when Steve Argue, who was arrested and beat and pepper sprayed on Saturday night, went up to the mic when he said...
yesterday, you mean Friday, of course.
I'm sorry, Friday, yes. When he went up to the mic and asked him all those really difficult questions about why did he sign these bills and, you know, all the good questions that Steve asked directly about the war... And he mentioned that it was at a Democratic fundraiser, and Sam Farr's, what he was doing was trying to find anything to find an inaccuracy from the person asking the question. His response to all of those questions was, well, it wasn't a Democratic fundraiser. And then again, when Gao Ling went up there to talk about how she didn't want the Russian students coming because she didn't want them to see how our government doesn't listen to its people, rather than addressing that, he corrected her that they weren't Russian students, they were Russian... something other than Russian students. So what I'm saying is, Gao Ling should have been able to say, but that's not my question. It wasn't a question of whether they were students.
Maybe we need people prepared in the audience to shout, answer the question, answer
Definitely.
The question. And we need to have a group of people who are ready to do this in unison.
I agree.
And
I agree.
For a very brief, disciplined period of time, they'll say it, shout loudly twice, answer the question, answer the question.
I think that's a really good idea.
And not sufficiently long period of time for us to be disruptive, but to be real clear. And of course, they'll threaten us with eviction, so we'll have to be prepared for that.
Right.
But I think that, you know, there has to be, the audience has to be made aware that we're not tolerating, because silence, unfortunately, is construed as giving consent.
Exactly.
To what goes on.
Exactly.
So that's one suggestion I have for you to pass on to your group
Definitely.
Of protesters today. And of course, I hope that group swells. We're talking to Tracy DeAngelis.
Right.
Who has been working for some time to free Mumia Abu-Jamal and has joined, of course, in the recent fight to end the bombing in Yugoslavia and to stop the sleeping ban in a really commendable multi-organizational effort. I think the more we work and with each other to try to get these things done, and don't be dismayed by a small turnout on a good Sunday.
No,
they're all
no.
probably watching Star Wars.
Right. No, I want to just reiterate what you just said. I think that all of us in this community that are working for freedom, for, you know, for justice, it doesn't matter if, you know, if it's for Mumia or if it's to stop the war or if it's to end the sleeping ban. We're all in this together. We all want the same thing, and we have to honor each other's processes that's the only way we're going to win this is if we all see it as the same issue and work towards the same goal together. And sounds really kind of corny, but, you know, that's, in my opinion, that's the only way we're going to get anywhere.
And that's what you're doing today out there at Loudoun Nelson Park. Where
right.
Is there food? Is there music? What's going on?
Food Not Bombs is supposed to be here in a little while.
Hey, if you eat for nothing but some
that's
of that
right.
tasty vegetarian food, and you get a kind of glimpse of that endangered species, Food Not Bombs, which I don't
right.
see around much anymore.
No, me neither.
Get over there and help volunteer to help Food Not Bombs, by the way. You can call them at 425-3345 if you want to help them. And Tracy, tell Food Not Bombs I've been given a donation for them if they want to get
oh.
in touch with me.
Okay,
so.
Great. Okay, I will tell them.
Hey.
Thank you very much, Robert.
And if anything exciting happens, or even if you feel like chatting in and tuning in to our radio, 96.3, and you got some responses, Tim Fitzmaurice has called the station.
Oh.
We have a long interview with him, which we're going to play next.
Oh, were you talking about the war?
He is talking about the war and his reaction to this and that. And hey, you might find it interesting, excuse me, so grab a radio and
Definitely.
Check it out.
Definitely. Well, thanks, Robert. Thanks for all your good work, too.
Hey, Tracy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
Tim Fitzmaurice, City Council member, Green Party person. You're still in the Green Party, right?
We're in the Green Party.
And a person who has sort of taken the lead, spoke out most forcefully, at least that was to my reckoning, at the last City Council meeting on a resolution essentially asking that the bombing stop in Yugoslavia, or former Yugoslavia. First of all, what was your reaction to the final resolution by Councilmember Rackham, I guess unanimously endorsed by the entire City Council? Do you think it was strong enough? Do you have any thoughts about the discussion that surrounded it?
I had a lot of thoughts about the discussion that surrounded it and about the strength of the resolution, but I think it was a good step. I'm not sure exactly. I don't want to presume what could have been unanimously agreed upon because I haven't had long and detailed conversations with everybody in that group, but I thought it was a good step. I was glad that we didn't, in a sense, I think, play that. There was a sense. I had a sense that some people still didn't want to clarify the origins of this particular action, the way that I wanted to.
Okay.
I look at this action as an attempt by the United States to assert a globalized police force. I think that's the largest outstanding question about the whole thing, and I don't think our resolution necessarily got to that point.
So give NATO a military video game workout, that sort of thing?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the joke.
To give NATO a military video game style workout in an arena that would give it more credibility?
Well, I think it's certainly true, and I think President Clinton has made it clear that the action in Yugoslavia is a way to test NATO's effectiveness in the world, and he said the survival of NATO is one of his first concerns, if not his first concern, and I think that's exactly what people in the United States should not be concerned with. You know, and what we should be concerned with is whether or not our forces are used with some responsibility to the civilian leadership that's supposed to be underpinning those forces, and I really feel a big gap between almost any civilian authority and this particular action. I really believe it's NATO is being used in a way where it's beginning to lose connection with any kind of democratic civilian responsibility.
And of course, sever the connections between the body parts of numerous Yugoslavian people. Another problem with NATO bombing, in my view.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I have an inherent problem with... I didn't have any problem. Right from the very start, I didn't think that bombing was the way to go about making political change. So I guess I had a predisposition not to trust it. But even looking at it from the perspective of someone who might believe that you can take that kind of military action for some good purpose, which I don't happen to be one of those people, but even taking it at its best, I think there's reason to be suspicious of why this is being done and how it's being done.
You know, in the Iraqi conflict 9 years ago, there was a huge opposition that built up. You probably remember.
I did teach-ins at the time, actually. I did a lot of work at the time.
Thousands of people, or at least hundreds, I would say several thousand people, flooded the freeways, blocked the roads, I guess, when they started the air war. And here we are now, 9 years later, and it's actually taken the Santa Cruz City Council 9 weeks to speak out on this issue, and not just the Santa Cruz City Council, many other bodies.
Maybe the first city